How's it going, guys? Welcome back to The Fu Show. I'm your host, Coach Ali Fu Show. In this episode, episode number 9, we are going to be talking about a 5-step guide to start as an absolute beginner. So the reason why I decided to go for this topic this week is because, fortunately enough, because, you know, the pandemic is hopefully, you know, it is at its tail end. Everyone's, you know, vaccinated. So we are seeing, I am seeing my friends more often. And since they do know that I am a coach, an often thing that they would ask me is that, hey, how can I start out as a beginner? And since we're roughly all the same age, we're late 20s, some of them are in their early 30s, some of them have not had any real formal experience in the gym, no real experience to work out at all. Like the last time they worked out would be college PE, college physical education class. So of course, since they've now been in the working force for roughly 10 years now, they never really got to really focus on their fitness because they were just focusing on their career, which is, you know, a normal step. If you're a fresh graduate, of course, the first thing that you'd want to think about is what do you do with your life now, right? So in those cases, a lot of people don't really have the chance or the luxury or the time to really focus on their fitness. But now since people are in their late 20s, they are now feeling that, you know, they're feeling the age creep in. And that's kind of weird to say because, of course, we're only in our late 20s, but we're already feeling our joints feel like they're in their 40s or 50s. And that's exactly what would happen if you don't treat your body well, if you don't use your body aside from just going to the kitchen, going to your car, drive to work from your parked slot, go to your office, your cubicle in the office or whatever. So obviously, if you don't give it enough time to, or if you don't give it enough movement, then it is going to degrade, degenerate, or it's not just going to be healthy. So that is exactly why we are here doing this episode, a 5-step guide to start as an absolute beginner, because this is dedicated to everyone that has been asking me, how can they actually start living a healthier, more active, and, you know, overall more adventurous life. Because if your body is more fit, if your body is more capable, you will be able to do more stuff. Like you wouldn't be hesitate to go up the next flight of stairs. You wouldn't be like, oh, I can't do that because there's a lot of walking. So with this guide, the goal of this guide is to help everyone out from step 1 all the way to step 5 to live a stronger, healthier, and more active life. But of course, we have to start off any episode with some caffeine. This is my first time trying the Monster Energy Ultra Red. My favorite for the past how many years would be the Ultra White. Tastes amazing. Then when I was in the grocery this past weekend, I saw that they had both the Ultra Red and the Ultra Blue. So it's my first time trying the red one. So the people listening on Spotify, sorry, you can see that I'm drinking it, but you can hear it. And it tastes really good. So if you happen to stop by any grocery, specifically I got this from SNR. So if you're in the Philippines, you definitely know what SNR is. Really, really tasty. The reason why I'm drinking caffeine, aside from the fact that we're doing this episode, is because right after this, I have to get my workout in because it's a busy day for me later this afternoon and evening. But anyway, all right, let's get started. A 5-step guide to start as an absolute beginner. Now, I know that everyone will have different backgrounds. Everyone will have different goals when it comes to their fitness. But for the sake of this conversation, we are going to assume that you are really within the spectrum of what we would call an average Joe. So you have no immediate health risks. You're not extremely obese. You don't have any illnesses that we have to really be conscious of right now. So if you're just generally an average Joe, or actually even though if you're within that wide or vague spectrum, I'm sure that this guide will be able to help you out. So first thing, actually, let's start with step 0. So it's not really part of the steps 1 to 5. Step 0 is that let us first attempt to remove any bad habits, because I believe that before you aim to have any good habits, you should first work on any pre-existing quote-unquote bad habits, bad health habits that you have. So I know that's, you know, easier said than done, but obviously if we're going to talk about trying to be healthy, we have to, as much as possible, remove anything that's actually deteriorating our health to begin with. So we have what we would call, I mean, obvious scenarios would be your smoking, your excessive drinking, excessive junk food. So all of those, everything that you would already know to be quote-unquote bad, as much as possible, it would be in your best interest to limit everything. Because of course, if you were trying to do all these good things, but you're still maintaining in excessive amounts of those bad things, so just drinking, the smoking, excuse me, the junk food, you might not be turning your wheels. You might just be spinning your wheels, but you might not be going anywhere in the first place. So that's something that I'd want you guys to check out first. So step zero, try to remove as much as you can the bad habits. Obviously, it'll be hard or almost impossible for me to say, oh, completely eliminate every bad habit that you would have. Because for me, I mean, I drink like on a weekly or every 2 weeks kind of basis. I don't drink every day, but it's not completely out of my life because it's, you know, with social culture, whatever, drinking is part of it. Just, of course, wag yung wasak na wasak or yung basag ka na. So that's something that you'd want to avoid. So again, just try to minimize, step zero, minimize all those vices, all those bad habits. Okay, now, since we're now lessening these bad habits, let us now move on from step zero to step one, which is super straightforward. And these levels are super, like, these steps, they go from easiest to hardest. So this first step is super easy. Just drink more water. And I know you might be wondering, like, hey, that's such a simple step, or like, that's, everyone knows that already. Yes, everyone knows that already, but not everyone really practices it. Not everyone really sticks to the habit of drinking enough water for during the entire day. Now, a lot of people are still hung up on the early 2000s or like late 90s tip, oh yeah, you just have to drink 8 glasses of water a day. Now, that's not necessarily bad, but let's try to be a bit more specific. Let's talk about it in liters now. So, of course, it really depends on how big or small you are as a human being, because obviously a bigger human would require more water than a smaller human. So let's say a 10-year-old boy or 10-year-old girl versus Eddie Hall. A better example, that a more popular one would be Thor Bjornsson, the Mountain from Game of Thrones, are one of the most popular strongmen now, like in the strongman competitive scene. He would definitely need more water than a 10-year-old child. Now, when it comes to you as your own individual, it's hard for me to say right off the bat on how many liters of water that you would need. But generally speaking, if you're an adult, 2 liters is going to be the bare minimum, no matter what size you are. Like, I think if, even though if you're like a small, like a 5'1", 5'2", or 5' woman, you would still need around 2 liters a day. And that's going to be spread out. Obviously, I don't want you to think of it as, hey, Coach Ali said drink 2 liters of water, that in just one sitting, you're going to aim to drink 2 liters. That's crazy. That's going to be too much. This, all these recommendations of you drinking enough water should be spread out from the moment you wake up all the way, like, right before you go to bed. So a very actionable tip that you can work on is that the moment you wake up, no matter what your water percentage or like water, desired water intake for the day is, just have 1 glass of water, roughly 300 to 500 ml of water, within like the first 10 or 15 minutes of you waking up. Like, what I do is that by my bedside table, I have a tumbler or I have a glass of water right beside me already. The moment I get up, I just drink right away, and it really, really wakes you up. Like, more than just, you know, I mean, of course, I love coffee, but, and I love caffeinated drinks, but there's nothing that wakes you up more first thing in the morning than having a solid, well, I was going to say solid glass of water, because for solid, you know, because water is a liquid. But anyway, nothing beats having a good glass of water the moment you wake up. And of course, since you just woke up, make it lukewarm, like make it an over, like room temperature water, because it's going to be really hard to drink ice cold coffee the moment you, ice cold water the moment you wake up. So it ranges. So if you want, you can start off by just consuming 2 liters a day, because with the conversations that I've had with multiple people, when they say, oh, I drink enough water, but when we actually, when we have that conversation on how much water they're actually having, and these are guys that are roughly like 150 to 200 pounds, so like, or like 170 pounds pataas, they would say that, okay, I drink this much, and then by this time I drink this much. We did the math. Then most guys drink like 1.5 liters of water a day, and that's crazy, because that's super duper like below what you would need to live a healthy life. I mean, very active, or a very, yeah, healthy, active, strong life. I mean, sure, you're able to do that if you're not fit, but you're just, your body's just basically surviving. It's not necessarily thriving. Now, if you want to start as an absolute beginner, making sure that your body is properly hydrated with or without a workout, even though if it's going to be a rest day or a workout day, if you don't have enough water in your system, you're basically screwed. You're going to feel like your joints are tighter, your energy level is much lower, your mood is going to be a bit more, you know, flaky. So a lot of other health benefits, or a lot of other like performance benefits, can be found as long as you make sure that you are properly hydrated throughout your entire day. Trust me. So if you were to have an honest conversation with yourself, try to really track how much water you are getting, especially if you're a bigger male. If you're consuming less than 2 liters, you have to work on that. Now, if you can start off with that 2 liter goal, then once you're able to be consistent with 2 liters, then you can move on, like in every week or every 2 weeks, add 500 ml to that daily goal. Then, because roughly for a man my size, the general recommendation, of course, it does fluctuate, the general recommendation would be anywhere from like 3.5 to 5 liters of water, especially if you're going to be working out that day or not. So that sounds like a lot, sure, but as long as you spread it out throughout your entire day, that's going to be very, very important. See, like this first step of drinking more water, super simple, but it took like what, 5 or so minutes just to talk about the first step. That's because of how important it is. And if there's one thing, if there's only one step in this 5-step guide that you would remember, like after watching or after listening to this episode, is to drink more water. Okay, that's something that I ask my clients that every day, whether they be in-person clients that come here or my online clients. One of the first things I always ask is, how much did you drink? Because there's almost always a direct correlation to their performance or their mood for the day, if they are hydrated enough or not. All right, let's stop talking about water, because that's something that I want you to already embed in your minds. Now, moving on from step one, now we have step two. Walk more. Super straightforward. Everyone knows that walking is going to be healthy, but the reason why, sorry, before I continue, let's drink. I know it's not water, but just allow me this time. Damn, this is really good. I highly recommend it. The Ultra Red by Monster Energy. Monster, if you can sponsor, asapa. But anyways, okay, back to step number two, walk more. Even you might be wondering, okay, like what if my goal is not to lose weight, should I still walk more? Yes, because walking is just to make sure that you are healthy, that you are actually moving your body. This is probably one of the most basic human functions, is to just walk. And of course, you might say, no, okay, coach, already walked naman. But then if you were to really be as objective as possible, and the best way to do that is to get a smartwatch, I am not going to recommend. I mean, of course, if you have the budget and if you're really an Apple freak, then I'm not. You can go for the Apple smartwatches or any of those other expensive watches. I'm sure they're going to work well. But for our purpose of just counting steps, you can go for the cheapest most affordable watch that you can find on whatever store, whether that be online or Shopee or Lazada. Just search smartwatch and then just make sure that it has a feature of counting your steps. Then that's going to be fine already. So let's try to be as objective as possible. A lot of people, especially if you're going to be considered as an average Joe or part of the sedentary group, you would only get like what, 1,000 to 3,000 steps a day. But the healthy range that a lot of people would be recommending would be anything around a bare minimum of 6,000 steps a day to 10 to 12,000 steps a day. So actually, I was going to say 10,000, but I know that's too difficult for some people. So let's just aim for 8. Okay, that's a good healthy medium. Aim for 8,000 steps a day. Whether or not you are for fat loss, whether or not you are for muscle gain, whatever your fitness goal is, you should be healthy enough or you should be active enough to be able to do 8,000 steps a day. Because you shouldn't call yourself a fit individual if you are not able to walk a good amount of steps a day. Because a lot of people, all they do, and again, this is good already. If you go to the gym, you get your workout, and that's great. But if that's only 1 hour a day in your 24 hours, or roughly if you go to the gym three times a week, so that's only 3 hours out of the entire week that you can consider yourself active. So that my math is right. So if you have, let's say, 16 waking hours a day. So I'm just going to do this quick math. If you have 16 waking hours a day times 7. And so that's a total of 112 hours. If you are only, let's do this math. 3 divided by 112. See, if you are only able to work out 3 hours out of your 112 hours a day, that's only 2.6% of your entire week can you consider yourself to be active. And that's nothing. That's just 2% of your week. And of course, that is great. 2% is way better than zero. But if you really want to consider yourself as a fit person and to really start living a healthier and more active lifestyle, you have to get your steps in. Now, you might be wondering, okay, how do I do that? Can you just go on a treadmill? Can you just walk walk in the streets? And yes, whatever it is that you feel like is most sustainable for you or most practical for you. My personal preference is that if you have the means to, of course, and not everyone does, but if you do, if you have a treadmill, and then if you have a TV or a tablet or a smartphone, just get on your treadmill, slap on some YouTube or some Netflix, and then just get 20 to 30 minutes. Excuse me. Sorry, I'm burping a lot because of the monster. Still worth it though. But anyway, so my personal preference is that you hop on the treadmill and then get some YouTube or Netflix on, because the more mindless or the more you can enjoy that walking session, then the better it's going to be. But if not, my next preference would be actually the same level of preference, would be to literally just get out, get some vitamin D, get exposed to the sun, walk to the grocery. Or another tip that I heard a lot is that if you go to a mall, try to park at the furthest parking slot. And of course, that's like the opposite of what you would normally do, because if you go to a mall, you try to park at the nearest one. Try to park at the furthest one, and just with that, you're going to add like what, another 1,500 steps, just because you parked a bit further away. So just some of these tips. You can try not to drive through, try to just walk to the restaurant and walk back. So whatever it is, try to get your steps in. And a good starting point or a good goal to have would be 8,000 steps a day. I don't want you to jump to 8,000 if you're starting from like 1,000 steps a day. So if you're really starting from a low number of steps, start from 1,000, aim for 2,000, and then 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and then finally 8. Because I have coached some people that were super eager to go, oh, coach, sabi mo, 8,000 steps yung goal natin, daily step goal natin. And they tried that right away, even though I said, let's ease into it. And of course, just because their body wasn't used to it, their ankles, their hips, and their knees kind of felt too sore the next day. So of course, we don't want you to reach extreme fatigue. That's something that we'd want to avoid. Okay, so again, step one was to drink more water. Step two was to walk more. Again, we're just forming these basic habits. And then step three, super duper, another step, another tip that's very expected to be expected would be to get enough sleep. These steps, again, are starting from the easiest ones to the harder ones. So I know it's easier to drink more water than to walk more, and it's also easier to walk more than to sleep more, because I know habit-wise, a lot of people like to stay up late, and of course, we all have work the next day. We have a fixed time on what we would when we would have to wake up. So a lot of people, especially in my age, late 20s, and leaning towards the later 30s, a lot of people don't get enough sleep. Please get enough sleep. We're not just talking about performance. We're also talking about just general health. If you are not getting enough sleep, you are not getting, you're not healthy. Straightforward. And sure, there are instances wherein people can perform really well despite the lack of sleep, but we also know that that is not sustainable. So as much as possible, I don't want to spend too much time with just getting enough sleep, because that one, super straightforward, is everyone knows this way more than the drink more water or to walk more. Get enough sleep, because that's going to help you just be more recovered. And the reason why this is the third step is because the fourth step is when we actually work out already. But so yeah, let's to go drill in step three a bit more again. You have to make sure that your sleep is in check, because if not, you are not going to be able to recover. Recover from what, you might ask? Recover from the workouts that you will now do at step four. Okay, let's now transition to step four. So when it, step four is about starting your actual workouts, but to be more specific, if you're an absolute beginner, this is my top recommendation when it comes to your actual workouts. Learn 2 to 3 exercises and do them 3 to 4 times a week. That's it. You don't need 5, 8, 10 exercises to learn right off the bat. Just pick 2 to 3 exercises. And if you want a more specific term, I want you to pick compound exercises. So a compound exercise is an exercise that involves a lot of muscle groups. So a basic one, actually, if you want to go to my episode 3, that's where I talked about the top 3 exercises for beginners. I'd highly, highly recommend that you check that out, because there's a lot of correlation with this beginner guide, step guide, to those 3 exercises. So after this episode, please watch episode 3. I talk about my top 3 exercises for beginners. But anyway, back to step 4. Learn these compound exercises, these are exercises that involve a lot of muscle groups, namely, and a good example would be a push-up, because the push-up works on your shoulders, your chest, and your arms. And I would say another example would be a squat. You would be using your legs, both the front part of your legs, the back, and your butt as well, your hips. So the complete opposite of a compound exercise would be an isolation exercise. A classic example would be the bicep curl. The bicep curl is a good exercise, but it does not grant you as much benefit as compared to a compound exercise. So once again, learn 2 to 3 compound exercises, exercises that you believe you're comfortable with or that you can see yourself continuously progressing with. Now, make sure as a beginner, make sure that you're not going really, really hard or going really intense with these exercises, because the goal in these first few weeks is just to make sure that you are learning them and trying to do it with as near perfect form. So again, quotation marks, near perfect form, because it's going to be hard to be 100% perfect with your form all the time, and that's fine. But never as a beginner, never go too hard to the point that your technique strays off. You have to make sure that you are performing everything as clean as you can, because that will ensure that you can progress. Because if your technique is off, it is going to be much harder to try to get stronger with poor technique. Okay? So again, when it comes to step four, learn 2 to 3 compound exercises and then do them 3 to 4 times a week. If you feel like you cannot work out 3 to 4 times a week, what you can do is, again, with your scheduling, try to do it twice a week. Do twice a week for 4 weeks, and then the next 4 weeks, try to do it 3 times a week. The next 4 weeks, try to do 4 times a week. So again, it really is about that gradual increase. You don't have to jump to such crazy or drastic measures or drastic efforts, especially in your workouts, because you don't want to be overworked. And of course, I really am burping from this monster, but I'm still gonna keep on drinking it, because I mentioned that the goal is to have perfect technique. And on top of that goal, the major goal is to form the habit. That's another reason why I prefer that you don't go too hard too soon, is because if it's too hard too soon, you might be too sore, you might be discouraged. So it is only going to be in your best interest to make sure that you don't push yourself so much, so that you can still go the next day, or you can still go at your next scheduled session with your coach, or the next time that you planned to go to the gym. Because if you're able to form that habit, that's when you're actually able to continue to progress indefinitely. Because we don't want you to push yourself too much. Just form the habit, form proper technique, and forming the habit, that's going to be the best way to start off as a beginner. Now, just to have a quick recap, step zero was to remove the bad habits. Step one was to drink more water. Step two was to walk more, like, or basically get more daily steps. Step three was to get enough sleep. Step four was to learn 2 to 3 compound exercises and then aim to do them 3 to 4 times a week. The very, very last step is the step that will actually be a bit more different person to person, whether you're after fat loss or muscle gain. Because step five is where I want you to now to eat according to your goals. Now, if you're after fat loss, you have to make sure that you're just not eating more than what you have been currently eating. So if I'd recommend that, I mentioned this also in a previous podcast. So this is episode 9. Episode 7 is where I talked about this in more detail. So if you're interested to know how to actually eat appropriately in more detail, whether you are after fat loss or muscle gain, I would highly recommend that you go to episode 7. Now, back to this one. So step number 5 is to eat according to your goals. Very straightforward, just to simplify what I said in episode 7, is that if you're after fat loss, you have to make sure that you're not eating more than what you're currently eating, or if possible, with your workouts now, since your workouts are now a habit, you can now afford to aim to eat less. Because a lot of people, when they try to do steps 4 and step 5 at the same time, they get too overwhelmed. They now have to work out, and then now they have to eat less. People are going to be frustrated. Aren't I supposed to eat more? Or like, I feel deprived because I'm exerting more energy and I'm also consuming less energy. So isn't that going to be too much? Yes, that is too much. And for sure, you can get amazing results in a short amount of time. But we're not after the short-term progress. We're after the long-term habit, because the long-term habit will dictate the long-term progress. I know it's person to person. A lot of people love doing those 30-day challenges. And of course, it's hard for me to say that, hey, don't do that. Because of course, there are success stories behind those 30-day challenges. It's just that there are also a lot of fail stories when they would be successful after 30 days. Tapos after 30 days, they bounce back. I'm sure you guys, the listeners, you guys know a couple of people who lost a lot of weight and then gained it all back. I'm sure that you have somebody in your circle that has done that. And of course, we don't want their efforts to be wasted. And the best way to go about that is to not chase after that short-term progress, is to really form first. The goal is to form long-lasting habits so that you can have long-lasting progress. That is the goal. The goal is not to just be shredded for summer. The goal is to be healthy for the rest of your life. That's something that I know a lot of teenagers and early 20s, people in their early 20s will be struggling to accept or to absorb. But if you're really keen on living a healthier and active life and you're a beginner, that's something that you really have to keep in mind. Habit first. So we again, eat according to your goals. If you're somebody who wants to now gain weight or specifically gain strength and muscle, you have to eat more. And again, just I would highly recommend to go back to episode 7 because that's I really went into detail there. But no matter what your goal is, a part of step 5 is that you have to eat enough protein, especially if you're living in the Philippines when you have the typical Pinoy diet. A lot of people just consume more rice. Rice is not bad. Carbs are great. It's just that because of the habit that I've noticed in myself and in everyone else, a lot of people tend to have a significant amount of rice more than their viand or their ulam. I would recommend the exact opposite. Prioritize the ulam, especially if it's heavy protein, because that is the best way to ensure that if you're after fat loss, that the weight that you'll be losing would be fat and not muscle. And if you're after muscle gain, that's going to help speed up the actual muscle gaining process. So again, no matter who you are or what your fitness goal is, you will always benefit from consuming a bit more protein than you currently are consuming right now. Sorry, that would have sounded really good if I didn't burp at that moment. But yeah, again, eat more protein. And if you're Pinoy, this is one good tip that I've learned, is that if you can imagine how it is when somebody eats rice and ulam in the Philippines, they'd have one scoop or one spoonful of ulam and then 2 to 3 spoonfuls of rice. What I recommend, this has worked well for me. Of course, I haven't talked about this a lot in public, I guess. But I really, really want you guys to try this. I would ask you to have only one, when you have one spoonful of ulam, of meat, only have one spoon of rice. So make it a 1-to-1 ratio as opposed to the 1-to-3 ratio that we've been doing our entire lives. And trust me, you are going to be surprised once you see that, oh wow, I'm consuming more meat and I don't feel bitten with my rice amount. So again, one spoon, I'm scared to say spoonful because I might be made fun of, but one spoon of ulam to one spoon of rice. And that's going to be a lot more balanced. That's literally balanced, like half carbs or half meat. And I think that's going to be a really, really good step, like a very easy and actionable step to help you consume more protein. But all right, that's the entire 5-step guide. Let's run through it again very quickly now. Step 0 is to make sure that you try to remove as many bad habits as possible, like any of those vices. Of course, it's hard for me to recommend or to dictate, hey, eliminate all of them, but as much as you can, try to lessen it. Step 1 is to drink more water. Again, 2 to 4 or sometimes even 5 liters a day, depending on how huge you are as a human being. Step 2 would be to walk more, to get more steps. The general average that I'll ask more people to do is to get 6,000 to 8,000. If you're a bit more, once you're past your beginner phase, might be smarter to aim for 10,000 plus. And for sleep, getting 6 to 8 hours, actually like 6 is kind of a bit too low already, but I know, I would say, okay, I didn't touch on this a while ago, but just don't get less than 6 hours of sleep. I know we have work, I know we have other responsibilities aside from our workouts, so I understand that it might not be in everyone's luxury to get 8 hours of sleep. But trust me, if you are able to get 8 hours of sleep, you are going to feel the difference, both performance, both in general health, both in and as well as in cognitive function. I swear, literally every aspect of your life will be improved if you are able to sleep enough. All right. Step four is to learn 2 to 3 compound exercises and do them 3 to 4 times a week. Again, if you want more information or more detail on that, I would highly recommend once again to go back to episode 3 where I talked about my top 3 exercises for a beginner. And the last one is to eat according to your goals. And no matter what your goal is, to make sure that you have enough protein. And if you want it in more detail, go to episode 7. All right. Thanks, guys, for watching. Again, I mentioned previously in the past episode or 2 episodes ago that even though we're not a huge community, I'm happy that we are accumulating a lot of streams. I mean, a lot in my standards. 1,000, when the moment that we hit 1,000 streams accumulated, of course, I was really overwhelmed because that's 1,000 times that people would take the time to listen to what I have to say. So that's definitely something that I extremely appreciate that. All right. So yeah, that's about it. A 5-step guide to start as an absolute beginner. That was episode 9. Next week, I'll see you guys here at episode 10. See ya.